Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. There was a preacher that told his congregation, he said, "All right, next Sunday I'm going to be doing a message and we're going to be preaching out of the book of Mark 17. Mark 17. If you read Mark 17, and then next week we'll be doing a message on Mark chapter 17. And so the people go home that week. He comes back up on a Sunday morning. He said, "All right, if everybody raise your hand if you read Mark chapter 17. And of course, hands all over the auditorium. And he said, "Good, we're going to be doing, there's only 16 chapters in Mark, and we're going to be teaching on lying this morning." So my sermon tonight is about lying and just the dangers of lying, the dangers of deceit, that I think it's so much more nowadays. You see these things that are out to deceive us. And just as much as it's bad in the Bible to lie, we'll see here it's just as bad to be deceived. And God wants us to have discretion. God wants us to be able to have prudence and foresee the evil. And so we're going to look at some of these things here tonight. But the sin of lying, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 5, the Bible says this: "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will what? Utter lies." Look down at verse number 25. Same chapter, verse number 25. "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." And we're going to talk about that tonight. I'm going to pray and we'll get into the message. But just the sin and the dangers of lying. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much, God, that we do have the truth. God, we'd be nothing without the Bible. We'd be nothing without the truth that has been passed down to us. Lord, we didn't do anything to deserve it. I didn't die on a stake. I didn't have to smuggle a Bible in. Lord, I got it freely from a store. Lord, we have so much freedom here in America, but we take it for granted. God, help us not to be caught in deceptions of lies, lies that are all around us. Lord, yes, of course, we do not want to be one to utter lies, but Lord, help us in this deception that is ever present. I ask you, please guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to go over some of these statistics. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many here have lied in the last year? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. We know. All right. All right. What about the last 6 months? Okay. All right. We're getting a little closer here. What about the last week? Anybody lied in the last week? What about today? Anybody lied today? All right. I was going to get on the scale, but I was like, I'm about 150 pounds. I'm good to go. But that lying, we do it all the time. I've got some lying statistics that I want to tell you here. The average 6-year-old lies every 90 minutes. Okay. That's, the average 6-year-old lies every 90 minutes. Age kids start to lie are from 2 to 3 years old is when they start to lie. The percentage of women who admit to occasionally telling harmless half-truths. A half-truth, everybody knows, is a lie, all right? That's 80%. 80% of women admit to occasionally telling harmless half-truths. 31% of people admit to lying on their resumes, all right? And that's what I did. We're here, so praise the Lord. No, but lying on their resumes. 13% of patients lie to their doctor. 13%, all right, it's going to get a little bit more here. There are 32% of patients who stretch the truth to their doctor. You know, that little spot on your leg, well, it's a gigantic mark. You got to look at it right now. And again, stretching the truth. But then 40% of patients lied about following their doctor's treatment plan. So, if those are the odds, you just kind of imagine as a doctor's perspective, it's like, all right, this guy is lying straight through his teeth. I know what's going on. And then 30% of patients lied about their diet and exercise regimens. I think that people lied when they said that, but 30% there. And then the average number of lies by day per men to their partner, boss, or coworkers is 6 lies on average a day. And then for women, it's 3 lies per day. I think a lady did this report here. But anyway, what am I telling you? Lying is a part of human life. Now, does that make it right? No. Does that make it to where it's acceptable, it's okay? No. To the point, God knew our lying ways. God had to put it in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. It's there pretty blatantly. When I go soul winning, I ask people all the time, The Bible gives us these Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie before? Yes. I've never had anybody tell me no. So they're being at least honest that way. I said, well, how many lies have you told in your life? If you were to take a guess, a lot, or innumerable, or too many to count. And we've all been there. But this sin of lying is a sin. It is something in the eyes of God where we've broken His commandments. We have lied not only to the individual which we are talking to, but we are lying ultimately to God. We are trying to deceive. We are trying to lie. But where did this all start? Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to be in verse number 1. You know this story like the back of your hand. But let's read this here. This is the first instance that we see in the Bible of lying. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. It's a little bit before Revelation. So, all right. Good, good, good. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now we know the story here. Just a chapter before, God tells them that if they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. And here's Satan telling the first lie, saying, look, you're not going to die. You're not going to die if you eat this fruit. Let's keep reading. Verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Sometimes, rightfully so, we put the blame on Eve, all right? But you know, the Bible tells us that Adam was with her. I would venture to say that he was at least an arm's length for her to be able to eat that fruit and give it to Adam, who was with her. He was with her. There's so many sermons there, I'm not going to get into that. But just think about that. This serpent came to Eve. The very first time we see a lie that's mentioned is a deception of Satan himself. We'll read a little bit later about Satan being the father of lies. But the first deception that we see is this snake, the devil, to Eve. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived. Very important there. Adam was with Eve when this was going on. But Adam was not deceived. But the woman being deceived was in the transgression. We're going to talk about that in a little bit here. But you notice the story. We all know the story, all right? You got the sneaky snake that was coming up to Eve, right? And he deceived Eve. And because of the deception, God says that there was the transgression was on her part. Adam was not deceived. Adam saw clearly through what the devil was saying and knew that it was a deception, knew that it was a lie, but Eve did not. Eve was deceived. Now, the second lie that we see from in this line here, look at Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 9. We know this story as well. These are not something new here for you tonight, but I just want to give you, where did this origin of sin and lying come from? So this was from the devil to mankind, if you will, but now we see the deception from mankind to God. Let's see how that works out. Verse number 9 of chapter 4. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Now, God, when he asks a question, he already knows the answer to these questions. But he gives you an opportunity to tell the truth. We have been there in parenting. Parenting, I feel like all I do is just ask dumb questions all day long. Who did it? Why did you do it? Why is the door left open? I just feel like I'm asking questions all day long. I know exactly what the answer was. The person that's got chocolate all over the mouth, they're the one that ate the cookie, but I'm still going to go in there. Who ate the cookies? Who left the refrigerator open? Why? That's exactly, I want to give them an opportunity to tell me the truth. And this is what Cain was given. Cain was given an opportunity by God. God, just the verse before, Cain slew Abel, his brother. And God said, where is Abel, thy brother? Notice what Cain says. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, was he being honest? No, that was a lie. But you notice the truth behind this. He wasn't just lying. He was trying to deceive God up in heaven. The boldness that Cain had was not just in telling the lie, but who he told the lie to was to God up in heaven that knows everything. But yet Cain himself was so deceived, he tried to deceive God himself. So this is where lying started from. We see again from the devil to man and from mankind to God. What does the word lie mean? Lie means to make an untrue statement with the intent to deceive. A lie is the beginning foundations. It's the seeds that are trying to be planted. Now, deception is different. To deceive is to cause to accept as true and valid what is false and invalid. So again, I start off with a lie. I try to tell a lie. I'm trying to tell a half-truth or something that is not completely or entirely true with the intention to deceive. Now, deception happens when that person believes what I have said, and they have been deceived, thinking what is true, what is actually false, to be true. That is what the difference between lying and deceiving is. And we'll see this throughout Scripture and throughout history. We see so many wars start because of lies. We see so many marriages. We see so many relationships, so many friendships that end in lying. But this lying is not new. It's been around for thousands and thousands of years. But yet we still struggle with it. We still struggle with the sin of lying. We're going to look at some things here. The Bible says here in Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, we have four children. Now, I've tried my best to teach them right things. But for some reason, they have learned how to be liars. We don't deal with liars. We deal with liars, but we don't like liars, if you know what I'm saying. Katori's got a bar of Ivory soap that is, we need to write liar on top of it or something. But here's the thing. Even the Bible says as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, I know this from experience. I am a very heavy sleeper, so my wife could probably attest to this a little bit more. But you know that baby, as soon as it comes home and you're sleeping, it's 2 o'clock. It's got to be the early hours. They don't do it right as you lay down and they start crying. No, it's right as soon as you're in your heaviest sleep cycle. They know it. They have it. It's in their brains. They know this. But as soon as it gets, you're in deep sleep. Wah, wah, and they're screaming and crying and you get up. And guess what? Nothing is the matter. You try feeding them. You try changing them. You try getting them to flip over. Do something different. Nothing is the matter. They come out of the womb speaking lies. That's what the Bible's telling us here. So we have to understand the Bible tells us that there are liars and there are deceivers. We are born as liars. 3 out of 5 people believe that they are good at lying. Just imagine that. But why do we lie? Let's look at a couple things. This is more of a study tonight, and I'll get into the message part, and we'll start screaming and yelling at that point. But I'm trying to give you some, lay down some foundation here. But what are some reasons that we lie? When I was in the youth group, I've just gone into the youth group, and you guys know when you get into a new group, we just get into high school, just getting into that new group as the little kid. And man, I hated being the little kid. I just didn't like that. I didn't like to be treated like I was less than. And we had our youth group, and I just got into the youth group. And so some of the people didn't really know who I was. And we went to this, it's called Medieval Times, and it was a dinner show. They did some medieval play, and we got to eat chicken with our bare hands and drink soup with our hands. It was cool. But there was, while we were walking out, of course, I was a young teenage male, all right, so it wasn't Katora, but there was a princess that all the guys were talking about. And I saw as we were leaving, there was a necklace on the ground. And I grabbed that necklace, and I held onto that necklace. And man, when I got onto the bus going home, the guys are like, "Hey, where'd you get that necklace?" I'm like, "Well, I don't mean to brag, but as I was walking out, I went to see the princess, and she gave me this necklace." And man, I was hamming it up. I'm like, "Yeah," she spotted me out, and she said, "Hey, I want to give you something." And they believed me for some reason. Why they would believe a 12-year-old, I have no idea. But they believed me. And man, I was the cool, I just got raised as the coolest kid in the whole bus. And man, I didn't tell them. Of course, until much later, I was talking to my brother several years after that. And I was like, "Man, you remember that necklace that you got?" I was like, "Yeah, she didn't really give it to me." "What?" And we've all been there. But why do we lie? Number one, I can think of is because of our pride. because of our pride. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 16:6, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. The Bible says in Obadiah 1:3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Galatians 6:3, if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Why do we lie? Because we have pride. We have pride in our heart. Man, I've been there where you don't want to be embarrassed. And, the teacher says, all right, who read your Bible this week? You know, you raise that hand up. It's a lie. Why? Because I've got pride inside of us. But we do the same thing. The boss says, hey, were you able to get that report done? Or, hey, did you get this job done? Well, I was doing my job, boss, but that guy over there, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And what do? We make up lies to cover ourselves because of pride. But we come up with lies for the reason why we lie, because of pride. Then what's another reason? Because of laziness. Deuteronomy 11:16 says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and turn ye aside and serve other gods and worship them. Take heed. That's an action. And because you don't take heed, well, guess what? Your heart gets turned to things it ought not to be. And you believe these lies because of laziness. So many times nowadays you talk to somebody and man, they've got news and you're like, well, man, that doesn't really sound right. Where did you hear that? Oh, I saw it on Facebook. I know it's true. And what is it? That's laziness. You're not really reading where the source came from. You're just taking it as truth and just passing it on. That is lying due to laziness. But why do we lie? We lie because of pride. We lie because of laziness. But what happens when we tell a lie? Who are we actually pleasing when we tell a lie? Well, the Bible tells us, take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The Bible tells us very clearly who we please when we tell lies. John chapter 8. And verse number 41. I'll give you a little bit of a background to this, and we'll go forward through here. John chapter 8, verse number 41. Who do we please when we tell a lie? The Bible says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then saith they unto him, we not be born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Very key, we'll get into that later, but my word. Number 44, verse number 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Such powerful things there. There is no truth. The Bible. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "In your father, the devil, there is no truth. There is no truth. God is the devil is full of deceit and lying and deception. That is what he is full of. He's not full of truth. There is no truth in him." Let's keep reading. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, here's the thing. We speak lies. When we speak lies, we are pleasing one person and one person only, and that's the devil. We don't please God in any way. God is a holy, just God. There is no reason for us to lie. There are no reasons for us to tell half-truths. God is truth. So the more that I tell the truth, the more I'm speaking of God. But the more that I lie, the more I'm speaking of my father, the devil. These are the people that are the father. The devil is the father of those that are of this world. They have not accepted Jesus Christ as their heavenly father. So who are we pleasing? We're pleasing the devil. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. When we get closer to the end times, it's very important that we are aware of the deceptions and the lies of the devil. A preacher mentioned it yesterday, but we know when we're getting into the end times because of the deception that is so prevalent. The deception is everywhere. I was looking up a song. There's a couple of songs in the hymn book that I want to try to have the congregation sing, and I didn't really know it 100%. So I was looking it up online, And there was a video of somebody singing it. And the title of the video is said, as soon as they heard it, the Holy Spirit's power came down. And I was a little curious. And what it was somebody was standing up on a stage, and I guess some talent show. I'm not sure exactly what I don't know what it is. America's Got Talent or something like that. But it's some talent show, man. And so it shows the judges there, and then it shows him, and he's singing this song. It's a Christian song. And man, I scrolled down to the comments, and people are like, "Wow, this is so beautiful! Wow, he got to preach, sing the gospel to these people, and they all get to hear." And then at the end of the video, everybody's standing and cheering for this young man. But it turns out that he photoshopped himself into the video. He didn't actually sing there in front of those judges. But I tell you, there was over 2.5 million views on this video. And literally hundreds and hundreds of comments. "Wow, praise the Lord that you got to do that. What an awesome opportunity." You know what he was doing? That's deception. And man, we've seen it so much. You know, Katori will show me. I don't get on Facebook, but my wife will show me, for some older people from our old church or in my family, they'll put a picture on Facebook and says, "Wow, look at this. How did this beautiful," one of them was the eclipse, and the eclipse had a cross on, it was definitely photoshopped. And man, people were like, "Look at what happened. God is so real." And yes, he is real, but man, it was deception. But you know what happens? The more and more that this AI technology develops, the less and less we will know what is actually truth. Pilate, what did he say in front of Jesus Christ? What is truth? Man, sometimes we get to that point because there's so much lies and so much deception that the devil and the world are pumping out. So when we tell a lie, we're pleasing the devil. When we tell a lie, who are we hurting? We're hurting our Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. If I am telling a lie, I'm not only pleasing the devil, but I'm hurting my Heavenly Father. There is no lying at all, no deception in God. There is no deception in Jesus Christ. The Muslims teach that their God is a very malicious, very teasing, very deceptive God. They believe that Jesus Christ, when he was going on the cross to die, that he switched faces. And again, this is some crazy, but this is what they believe. They believe that he switched bodies and switched faces with Joseph that carried the cross. And they believe that it was actually him that died on the cross. And Jesus Christ came to the disciples and said, "Look, it wasn't me that died. I was just tricking y'all." Man, I would not want to serve a God that lies. I do not want to serve a God that is deceitful. Man, but that is what this world pushes. That is what this world promotes. And when I lie, man, I'm hurting the God of truth. That's what I'm hurting. The Bible says in Psalms 101:7, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." Man, we serve a very forgiving God, a very loving God. But God, when it comes to truth, God does not waver. God wants us to speak the truth and to speak the truth boldly. But God wants us to speak the truth, not lies, not deceit. Who else do we hurt? The Bible tells us that we hurt other Christians when we tell lies. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 19, "And ye will pollute me among my people, for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, to slay the souls that should not die, and to save souls alive that they should not live, by your lying to my people, that they hear your lies." When we lie, we are marring the name of Jesus Christ among other Christians. We're hurting other Christians. What are some examples of that? I think of when we're talking with one another. "Oh man, how are things going?" "Oh, everything's going great. We're good. We're doing great." Now I'm not for, "Oh, let me tell you my problems." Man, but I'm for, when I am for us as Christians being honest with each other. "Hey, you know what? I've been struggling in this area. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? Man, I really could need some help in this area." Man, that's what this is for. We're a hospital, not a museum, is what we say, right? Well, man, if I'm walking around and I'm trying to deceive and, "Oh, everything's okay. Cheese. All right, now you're being deceptive. There's no truth in that. We need to make sure that we're being honest and truthful with what we do. What are some of the consequences of lying? Again, this is just introduction. We'll be done with the message here in just a little bit. But what are the consequences? Number one is a tarnished testimony. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." When we lie, when we are known to be liars, man, I don't know about you, but I don't like hanging around liars. Again, I told my fair share of lies growing up, but I saw the damage that it had to me personally. Man, I remember one of my first bosses that I worked for, he was washing windows. And man, I told him a lie right off the bat. And man, he did not trust me. And man, I saw the damage. I didn't work for him for very long. I wouldn't blame him at all. I'd fire me too. But here's the thing. It mars your testimony. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Nobody likes a liar, but it tarnishes your testimony. Then there's punishment that's involved. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:9, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish." Numbers 32:23, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." God knows when we lie. God knows the truth. God is the truth. So again, there's punishment that comes with it. The Bible tells that there's also, what are some other consequences, is a seared conscience. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, "Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." What is that conscience? That's that Holy Spirit saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, you don't need to be working down that way. And what happens? We lie. When we're faced with the Word of God, and when preacher gets up to preach and he says, hey, you know, thus saith the Lord, we need to make sure we watch what we need to pay attention to what we're watching, what we're listening to, what we're bringing into our heart. Well, I don't have that problem, preacher. Oh man, what are we doing? We are deceiving ourselves. I believe true Christian growth starts with honesty. Man, when an individual understands the need of salvation, understands that they have broken the commandments of the Lord and they are guilty of an eternal lake of fire. They have taken on an honesty. And because of that honesty, God can do a great work. Man, honesty is so powerful. But when we lie, we sear that conscience with a hot iron. Then there's the deceived. Now I'll be real quickly here. But men will try to deceive you. Matthew chapter 24, this is Jesus speaking about the end times, and this is what he has to say. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." God, Jesus tells us here as a warning that we need to be careful. Yes, not to tell lies. We understand that. But also this deception. Not to be deceived. How do we not be deceived? Man, there's so much, we've already talked about it, so much deception that's everywhere. Especially when you get into social media. Man, you say, well, wow, you look so great on your profile picture. Well, you didn't know that they had 25 filters on it to make them look like they're 10 years younger, 20, 50 years younger. I know my grandma, and I don't think she's going to listen to this, but my grandma, on her profile picture for Facebook, for the longest, she had her high school graduation picture. My grandma was in her 70s before she finally took it down. But here's the thing, why? The deception is so prevalent. And God says, look, I don't want you to lie. But then God goes a step further. He doesn't want us to be deceived. Deception is, yes, it's evil. It's wrong for people to try to want to deceive us. But it's just as wrong for me to fall privy or to fall prey to being deceived. We have to be sturdy. We have to be steadfast. It's just as bad if you tell a lie than you are desired and deceived by that lie. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:14 that henceforth we be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That Jesus mentioned these antichrists that are out there to deceive. And the Bible tells us we don't need to be like children that are tossed to and fro. How many have done the little thumb thing to kids, right? Look, I lost my thumb. You know, why? Because kids are so, they're gullible, all right? Hey, did you see the gullible sign on the ceiling? All right, what is that? That's being tossed to and fro. But Jesus said, I don't want you to be like that. I want you to know what you believe. How do we know that? How do we not get deceived? How do we not get tossed to and fro with every whim of doctrine? You know, somebody stands up and says, well, I believe this is what the Bible says. Well, okay, I guess you're right. Let's go ahead and go with that. No, how do we avoid being tossed to and fro with deception? Remember, 1 Timothy 2:14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Eve's main problem was that she was deceived. She was judged based on her falling to deception, to hearing a lie and falling to deception. So how do we avoid that in our life? Number one, we have to find the truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. What is the truth? God is the truth. God is the truth. The Bible says He is a rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth without iniquity. Just and right is He. For the word of the Lord is right and all His works are done in truth. Jesus Christ is truth. What did He say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if we are to be more like Jesus Christ, we need to seek what that truth is. We need to find the truth. The Bible is the truth. The Bible says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and the law and thy law is truth. What is, John 17:17 says, sanctify them by their truth. Thy word is truth. Man, Christians today, and you know, across America and across the world, sadly, our Bible knowledge has greatly degraded. We don't know the stories of the Bible anymore. You can stand up in front of a large group and you say, oh, do you remember the story about Noah? Ah, I have no idea who that is. Man, do you know the story about Jonah? Well, I don't know who that is. Man, you know, do you know the story about Elijah calling fire down from heaven? Well, I don't know what that is. What happened? We are losing our grip on the Bible, and we are letting go of truth, and we are clinging to deception. We are clinging to lies. But that is where America stands right now. We lie in the balance between truth and falsehoods. But the Bible is truth. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What? To find the truth. I don't know what the truth is. Where do I find truth? Well, man, have you asked the Holy Spirit for truth? Have you asked the Holy Spirit, say, God, I want to be more like you. Can you show me the truth? Can you show me what is true? And He will show you the truth. But it's not only just finding the truth, it's using the truth. The Bible says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor as such as turn aside to lies. We not only know the truth, we know what is true, we know what this Bible says, we read our Bible, we know what it says, but do we use the truth? Do we apply the truth into our daily lives? I want you to take your Bibles real quickly. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. But yes, we need to find the truth, we need to identify the truth, but we also need to use the truth. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How do we know what is true? How do we know these ideas that are coming our way, the falsehoods and the deceptions that are coming our way? How do we know what is true? The word of God. God will tell you. God will give you wisdom and a discernment to identify what is truth and what is not truth. There is a gift of discernment. I do believe that some people are just more gifted in identifying, say, you know, there's just something that's not right about that. I believe that some people are a little bit more geared that way. And I believe that that could be beneficial in a church building. Again, in a church, we are members of one body. And yes, we may have strengths in one area, but weaknesses in another. I believe it's amazing when I see marriages that it's the same thing. One person is happy-go-lucky. It's like, man, did you see what they're doing? Did you hear what they're doing? Honey, that's not true. All right, what is that? That is somebody that is a discerner of truth. So yes, you use the Bible, but man, God has given us counselors in our life to help us discern what is true and what is not true. Man, I praise the Lord for a preacher that gives the truth. We have the truth that he preaches from, but we also have great men and women in this church that can be used as a counselor to help you and guide you through that truth. I don't know if we have time to read this, but Hebrews chapter 5, look down at verse number 14. If you have time later on, 5 through 14 is a great passage, but look at verse number 14 if you will. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Did you notice that? By use, they have their senses exercised. It's not something that just happens. It's not something that you just, oh, I know exactly what's right and wrong. No, it's something that you have to learn. You have to exercise. What does the Bible say? Anything that comes into my life, let me base it off what the Bible says. Man, let me see if that's true or not. And the more we exercise that, the more the couple verses before says, you know, I'm tired of you. All you can drink is milk. I can't give you meat. But these people that have been able to exercise their senses, they've been able to exercise from the Word of God, they can be able to discern between good and evil. If you will, between truth and falsehood. The Bible tells us very clearly when Jesus Christ was here and the devil said, look, you can turn these breads into stone. You can jump off of this high pinnacle. You can look at all these kingdoms. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. But Jesus looked past the deception and found the truth. And what did he tell him? As it is written. Man, as it is written. As it is written. Why? Because Jesus Christ looked past the deception and found the truth. If you will, he used the Word of God to discern what was good and what was evil. Don't fall prey to Satan's deceptions. They're everywhere. They're literally everywhere. Man, it's just so easy to be deceived. But God says, look, I want you to exercise those senses. I want you to be in the Word of God. The more you read God's Word, the more it gets burned inside of your mind. This is a big book. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a big book. There's a lot of truth in here. But you know what? If I never open it up, I'll never know what it says. You know, a pastor once told me, he said, you know, the Word of God is like a 1,000-piece puzzle. You know, you get that 1,000-piece puzzle. I've even seen puzzles nowadays where they're clear. Like they have nothing. It's just clear. All it is just pieces. You know, if you were to get a 1,000-piece puzzle, you know what happens? What do you normally do when you get a puzzle? Well, you don't just get it there and look at it and just start staring at all the pieces and go, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Why don't you get together? No, what do? Grab those border pieces. All right, let me grab the border. Let me get that border going across. Okay, here's a group of blue. Let me find my blue pieces. Oh, look, there's a little kitty cat. Let me find the kitty cat pieces. What are you doing? You're taking little bits and pieces. And then, man, when that puzzle starts to come together, you get to see a full picture. A picture that was there the whole entire time, but because we didn't understand, because we didn't have it put together, we didn't really see what was there. And that's exactly the way the Bible works. Yes, the Bible is there. It's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. God wants us to live in truth. And what has He done? He's given us the Bible. The Word of truth. You know, you think about it, in all of Christianity, they haven't had a whole Bible like we have. We have the whole entire complete Bible in our language. We didn't have to learn Latin. We didn't have to learn Greek. We can read this Bible. Well, most of us, you know, it's got to have some pictures for some of us. But we can read this Bible and God wants to give you the truth. Yes, do you understand it all? No. Preacher's been studying the Bible for 40-something years. Some of you guys have been reading your Bible for a very, very long time. But you don't understand it all. You won't understand it all till we get to heaven. But man, if I'm putting a puzzle piece together, we did a puzzle competition in college. And it was one of those 1,000-piece puzzles. It was two teams. They were going after each other. And I saw the team that was getting it together faster. What do you think that slower team was doing? What do they got over here? What is that? I don't know everything, but I do know some people around me that do, and I can learn from them. I can take that truth that they have learned, and I can apply it to my life. Man, that's what the Bible is. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The great verse here, but a lip of truth is established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Don't be tempted to lie. Yes, we're going to be tempted to lie, yes. But don't fall prey to that. Don't lie. Don't be known as a liar. It'll tarnish your testimony. But then also, this deception, it's so powerful. Don't be deceived. Don't just walk around willy-nilly, oh, it's just going to happen. Everything just seems true. One of my favorite quotes, it says, you can believe everything, or don't believe everything you read on the internet. Abraham Lincoln. All right, so... What is that? There's deception everywhere. We need to use the Bible. Use the counselors that God has given us to look through that deception. Look through those lies and find the truth. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we do thank you so much, Lord, for the truth, the Word of God. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. God, you didn't leave us down here just to figure things out on our own. Lord, you've given us such a head start, such a manual in our life to where we can live our lives by this truth, by this Bible. And we get to know more and more about the God of truth. get to know more about you. Help us, Lord. I know it may seem daunting. It may seem impossible to know all of the truths, and the deceptions are getting more and more intricate and more detailed. But Lord, help us to see through those. Give us the discernment that we need. Help us to learn these scripture verses we can use as a sword to divide even the thoughts asunder. Lord, I ask you, please help us tonight. I'm going to ask, we're going to have Brother Randy play the piano. If you'd like to use the altar, you can. But we're going to pray just a little bit. Make a decision to God not to be a liar and not to be deceived.